Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning to the Lord's house. Well, it is a good day to be in the Lord's house. We're so glad that you're here. Wonderful time of the year, lots of things happening, a lot of good things, a lot of joy, a lot of expression of love and concern for mankind and for God our Savior. Isn't it good to go in a store this year and how many times you get to hear somebody say Merry Christmas? They even said that at the bank the other day, believe it or not. We haven't heard that for a while, but so many places now we're hearing it. It's hopefully that we'll hear it around the world. God is so good and glad to see you here this morning and so forth. Saw all the people taking their cards in there, so before I forget it, I remind you, everybody here, don't forget to get your cards on the table in there. But it reminds me of this. You know, you need to be very careful who you send cards to, because this one fellow, he decided that this year he was going to send 600 Christmas cards to people he didn't know at all. So he got some phone directors from different cities, and he sent out these 600 Christmas cards, and 117 of them answered him. And one lady said, I thank you so much. Your card meant so much to me. I just came home from the hospital that day and there was your card and it meant so much to me. And another one went on with something and another one with them. But this one said, and this guy was from San Francisco. And so this one that kind of takes the cake come, he said, oh, it's so good to hear from you. And said, we'd almost forgot who you were. And we got to thinking and finally got a picture of who you were in our mind and remember now who you are. And by the way, next summer we're going to be in San Francisco for a vacation. Can we spend a few days with you? So be careful who you send those cards to. I might want to spend a few days with you. That'd be great. Okay, let's get back to the scripture this morning. Chapter 2. Verses 1 through 20, and this will be our text also, and we cannot read it enough, we cannot hear it enough, we cannot expound on it enough at times like this. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrena was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn, for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord showed around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, and shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is called Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. You shall see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and earth and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us go now, even into Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered of these things which were told them of the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard. Amen.
Before him worship this morning, using number 117, verses 1 and 4, and do any will ever. It's all set.
Pray together. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are to once again to be able to come together and praise you with songs, Heavenly Father, and just praise you for your goodness. How good you've been to us. Like always, dear God, you have been so faithful to us this week, provided for us so generously and so kindly, dealt with the needs that we have, Heavenly Father. And Almighty God, we just thank you that you bless us in such a wonderful way, that our family here, our church family, Heavenly Father, we can look upon each and every one, and we can see where your hand is at work in their lives, and we really thank you for that. We thank you for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and that guides us and helps us and brings us into the good places like this place here today. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you. And Heavenly Father, we pray that now that we're in the holiday season, we're having very vivid before us the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and your love demonstrated in such a wonderful way for mankind. Help us to rejoice in it. Help us, Heavenly Father, to help others to understand it and rejoice in it. Help us, Almighty God, that throughout the world, that many might come to know Jesus this holiday season, that, Heavenly Father, that they can rejoice as we do, week by week and day by day, in the wonderful love that you have showed upon mankind. Thank you for it. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would forgive us where we might fall short. Strengthen us in our walk with Christ. Help us to do those things that are pleasing to you. And we praise you and thank you always in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Now for communion hymn, he's using number 160, sang the first and last verse.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath and flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath and flood, lose all their
I'll be reading 15, 22 to 15. And he said to do that, which is all right, as I do this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until the fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, this is divided among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This I do in remembrance of me. Still, Father, we thank you for the privilege we have together here and partake of Holy Communion. As we partake of these elements, help us to remember the bread represents Jesus' broken body, and the juice represents his blood that he shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And we come now, Father, and ask for that forgiveness when we fail you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we're thankful that you blessed us again to be back in my house again this morning. We're thankful for the promise that all we have to do is put our faith in you and all our needs be met. As we bring back the portion to you, we ask that you bless both the gift and the giver. We pray that you'll be with us and strengthen us to be the day to bring some morning's message. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Michael, yes, would you do me a favor?
What's that?
On the coffee machine, there should be about 20 or 30 sheets in there. If you will, please. While I think about it, if you have noticed the change in the communion bread. Now, the little things that we used to get, the little pieces, can't get anymore. And so Kim, I guess, gets that ordered, and we had the hard ones, and we got some complaints about that. It was too hard. And now came, so I looked, and we've got the soft one, and asked Kim to get some of those. And we'll take a vote right now. Yeah, if you will. Okay, put them on the back table back there, if you will. We'll take a vote right now. Who wants what? We'll go from that. Because I know there's going to be some each way. How many prefers, if we could get the little ones, that we'd be glad to do that. We can't do it. How many prefers the hard ones? Somebody count there. I mean, I can't count very fast. How many prefers the soft ones? Okay, so we'll just ask you folks that prefer the soft ones, because the majority of the people wants the hard ones. Is that okay? Elders, is that okay? I mean, that's the only way I know to handle it. And if it went the other way, we'd ask the others then to just be that way. And thank you for that. Okay, and also as I thank you. Where'd he go? Michael, thank you for getting those things. I'd like to challenge you is I'm going to be reading through the Bible this year again. We've done that a time or two in years past. We ought to have done it more often over the years that we've been here. But this year, starting in January, I'm going to read through the Bible. And it's a straight-through program. And those sheets that he brought out back there has it on there, the daily reading on there. So you can take those and check them off as you read them. And then, if you will, I didn't put a paper back there, but I'll try to pick up one and put back there. If I have your name that's going to read through the Bible with us, well, I'll put a chart back here, and so that each week then you can mark off that you have read your weekly chart. So I hope that you will join me in doing that, and it just takes a little bit of time. And the last time we read, we had sections from the Old Testament, section from the New Testament, and so forth, which is good. I mean, you can prefer that. And you might have a plan that's better than what this, and you want to do that, that's your business. But for you people that are not do not have a plan to read through the Bible this year, if you will join me, this will be a good plan for us. We'll just read straight through it and from day to day. And so there's a list, and let me know who's got those. All right, let's see what else. And there'll be no Bible study. I meant to tell Donna last week, Donna, I fall short on keeping her informed. We have dismissed the Bible study until the 1st of January to the first week in January, I think. We'll pick that back up because everybody, the families, and get together on those days, and so we did that. What else we need here? Several things that we had. Okay. So, any announcements anyway, things taking place that you want to share with the church family? We'll give you the opportunity to do that. I mean, I say that all the time, but if you do, we're so glad that you're here and so glad that Kathleen's able to be with us. She's warded off a headache, and we hope it doesn't come back, period. But we're more glad that you're here than anything. Not just to play the piano, but we're just glad you're here, able to be here. And we have some people that are missing because they're visiting with family and so forth, and we know that'll happen. And probably next week there'll be people out of town visiting and so forth. But we're so glad that you're here. Wonderful time to come together. Wonderful time for families to be together. Wonderful time to just to honor God and to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and share with those people who do not know or do not understand the meaning of Christmas. So do all you can to let them know we have a great God and wonderful Savior. All right, as we look at our prayer list, and I won't go down the list this morning. We have quite a number of them on there. And I did get some reports back of some of those folks that are on there. But we're just praying that things are going well. And we saw Mariana Adams was here last week. And Mariana's not doing well. But we do have a one here that I'll share with you that came to us this week, came to Omer to share with us. And this is from Gary Sickle. How many of you remember Gary Sickle? Okay. So Gary Sickle was a minister here for a couple of years or so, maybe 3 or 4 years. I forgot how long. And so he sends a greetings to you, Christmas greetings, and shares some thoughts with you. And Gary, Janet, and Zach, and Sickle. But long story short, I'll put this on the bulletin board. It's a little letter from him. And long story short, he has cancer of the liver. He has now been diagnosed with cancer of the liver. And so keep him on in your prayers. And, of course, they can do a whole lot with that. And so we just pray that it'll work out and things will be okay for him. But as he goes through whatever he has to go through with that, well, let's pray for him and pray that things will go well for them. Who else? I just would like to talk about everyone, but I hate to just pick some out of there. But just keep in mind, I'm looking here to see if there's some new ones that we need to talk about. Oh, yeah, you've got Gary Sick on there.
My brother and my sister both.
Okay, I see you have them on there. I was fixing to ask you about them.
My brother was in the hospital with blood clots.
Okay.
He's home, doing somewhat better.
All right.
My sister fell and has 3 broken ribs.
All right.
She's been okay.
Okay, good. All right. You folks know the power of prayer, and you know that's the least we can do. And so just keep praying for those people. Good things will happen for them. Vernon Morris, that all of you know, and he comes fairly regular here, and he's not going to hit. He's a sugar problem, and he's having trouble with his toes and different things and so forth. And so let's earnestly pray for them, for him, somebody else. Okay, hopefully that everybody else is doing well. And I'll give you just a little quick report. I went to talk to the doctor this week, and I'm still in the condition that we started out with, but it's kind of like a bare tire running down the interstate. It could blow out any time. But it hasn't got any less. I mean, it hasn't got any worse. How am I going to say that? So it's really an encouragement to me because we've been going on a 3-month period of time, you know. So he says, now, we feel like if you want to, we'll go for a 6-month time. And so we're going for a 6-month, and then we'll go back for another checkup and praise the Lord and see how it goes. But from the beginning, when they found the weakness and what was happening, and I shared with you the valve stopped leaking after we prayed about that. And but there's nothing the vessel, it's just going to stay weak and so forth. But we're just trusting the Lord, and you know, just it hasn't changed. So as long as it doesn't change, we're in good shape, and we're just going to go with it. If we chose to, he'd operate this week, but we're not going to do that. We're just going to, I'm not tempting the Lord, but we're just trusting the Lord, and trusting y'all's prayers. Thank you for your prayers. Okay. And so I know how God's working in my life, and I know he can work in your life. And I know he works in these people's lives that we have on the prayer list. And so we just praise him for his goodness. And our country, I don't know what else is going on, but we just earnestly keep praying for them and for the service people, for the people in the care homes. Those people are away from families. It has to be a dreadful time. Our daughter that from Florida, she flew in Friday, and she's going to be in until, got to go back. She'll be going back to work the day after Christmas, so we'll get to see her for a few days. Haven't seen her for a while, and so we're glad for that. So we just pray that all the people will be traveling back and forth and around, and you people will be traveling, you people will have company in, and so forth. We just pray that God will really bless you in a great way, and you'll have a great Christmas, and for what it means to us. Amen. All right, some comfort prayer time.
Before prayer hymn, we changed it to 1:19 instead of 21. Sing the first and last verse, and I'll have the 1:18. Came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, when angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to me, from heaven's all gracious King. Thank you again for another opportunity. Grant us together in your house on the Lord's Day, sing songs of praise and hear that word we pray. Be with Brittany as he brings the morning message. Each word is sinking our hearts and bring forth fruit to thee. Forgive us now where we fail thee. Be with the ones that are sick on the prayer list. Comfort and restore them back to their normal health. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
That invitation hymn will be number 345. Now at this time the choir was
yeah.
Thank you, Kathleen and Choir. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we're not going to read that over, but go down the line and share some thoughts with you about it. You know, Christmas time is a wonderful time, isn't it? This time of great love shown among people, families, and you get together and exchange presents and so forth. And you remember when we don't have a lot of many children in an audience, but you remember when you had your children, they were growing up, and you'd get those special gifts for them, and you had to put them together and so forth, and you'd get the screwdrivers and pliers and put them together and such. What a wonderful time. I read of this fellow. He ordered a treehouse for his children. And so comes Christmas time, and he's all excited, going to help them, you know, going to put it together for them. Gets it out and gets it all sorted out, and it turns out it's a sail ship. And he writes to the company and says, "We ordered a treehouse for our children, and said we got a sailboat." And they wrote back to him and said, "Well, we're really sorry for the inconvenience that we inconvenienced you," but he said, "You're not as bad off as that fella that's out on the lake trying to sail your treehouse." And so maybe you want to check your presents before Christmas time to know that you got the right thing, you know, isn't it, John? And I'm glad you're here, because, you know, I got a little corny thing for you this morning. You know, you people don't like them. She likes some corny things. She's kind of corny anyhow. But do you know why the skeleton didn't go to the Christmas party? He didn't have a body to go with him. Okay, let's get down to the real nutty thing here this morning. As the boy says, "I want you to feel good. We're so glad. You all look so cheery today, and you're feeling good. And isn't it great to God is so good, and it's so great to get together and just praise the Lord in it." Chapter 2. Now, Christmas is certainly not a fairy tale. It's not a long, long ago in a land far, far away, because it has identifiable people and places. And so that's what I want to do this morning for a little while, hopefully, is to look at some of the people and places. We haven't done that for a while. And so as we begin here, and it come to pass in that they went out the decree from Caesar Augusta. Who's Caesar Augusta? We've had sermons about him and Octavian, and how, you know, a long time ago we've had a lot of sermons about them, but he, as we think about him, he is taken control by military forces. He has taken control of all the land in Roman. And so we just have a great big Roman empire, all the land of the world of that day, really, knowing that's the world of that day. And he's over all of it. He's a powerful man. And probably no one else has been as powerful as that man has at that time. And he sends out this decree. And he sent out a decree by Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And so the reason that he's ahead of the whole world, whole country. And so in doing so, he's got to tax the people, like you people, and we are taxed, so that he, number one, I think he wants to show the people who's in charge. Just reading about him and so forth, he's probably got that in mind. I'm going to show him who's boss, who's in control, who's done. And another thing, though, he needs the tax money to provide for them and to protect them. Isn't that what our tax dollar is supposed to do? Our tax dollar goes to the government. They're supposed to provide things for us and supposed to protect us. So this man was there. And probably, as again I say, probably no one has been as powerful as that man has. And to think about that, here's a man who is sitting in an ivory tower or ivory palace, and he speaks out, he makes a decree, and the whole world, because it says here, in the tax he first made in Cyrene with the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. So here's this man sitting in his great big mansion, and he sends out a decree, and everybody obeys him. All then went to be taxed. Isn't that something? But we're on this side of the story, aren't we? So we know what's going on there. It is God at work carrying out his wonderful plan to bring salvation to mankind. It doesn't make any difference what Augustus Caesar is thinking and what Augustus Caesar is doing. God is work at bringing them together, bringing to fultation of the plan that he has for mankind, of bringing the Savior in to us. So we look at Caesar, and they're going to tax, and it talks about Joseph here that went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and lineage of David. So we know the story of how the angel come to talk to Mary, and how Mary was with child by the Holy Spirit, by Holy Ghost, and so forth. And we know all the discussion, and we know all the gossip and stuff that took place there in Nazareth. And we know that Joseph was espoused, and now he's married, and he takes his wife, and they go then to be taxed. And we talk about, you know, Joseph could have just went by himself, but he took Mary. And you wonder why, you know, here's a Mary, and she's long in due in the given birth. And so he could have left her home. But I think one of the things that was because of this call of Caesar Augusta had called them all to come. So she went. But I think the main reason she's with Joseph is the fact that he wanted to protect her. You know, back in Nazareth, it's just like every other city. They were gossipy people. And they could really tear apart a young lady who was pregnant, and as Mary was. And so she would have, if she was left there by herself, they would just ate her up. They would have made her feel as nothing. So Joseph, protecting her, took her with him. I think that's probably the reason that she's with him. It didn't have to be, but he wanted her where he could see after her and protect her. So it says here that he goes up. Bethlehem is where David, King David, was born. We know that just a few miles down the road, he built the city there of Jerusalem, built it up and so forth to honor God. And so he was just a short ways away. So everybody had to go back. You know, what would it be today if there was a call that everybody had to go back to their own homeland and register? But that's what they were doing. They had to go back and register so they could be taxed. And so, and he says that in the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So here we see that they were traveling. They have the child. She's great with, well, hello, Mary Ann. Just sharing with the people a while ago that we was glad to see you last week. We'll see you again. Welcome. And so here they're traveling. And taxed with Mary, espoused wife, being great with child. This journey must have been quite a journey, but I think it's not as bad as maybe as we think it is. And because we see pictures of this, and we see pictures of Joseph and Mary and the manger scene and the traveling on a donkey and so forth. But I can't find the donkey in the scripture. But we got a lot of pictures, and many people just believe that the donkey, riding the donkey. But I don't believe that Mary rode a donkey. I don't think they owned a donkey. And I'll give you some reasons for that. First of all, and we'll see a little later on this to, plays out. First of all, when they came for the purification and she went to offer, she was to offer a lamb and a dove, and they couldn't afford that. So they took the lesser means. So they were peasant people, poor people, really, actually. And so, and another thing, you outwalk a donkey. There's not a person in here who can outwalk a donkey. They're a slow burden. And you have to pull on them to get them going. And in my life, I've fooled around with a couple of little donkeys. My dad used to trade and so on. We'd get all kinds of animals. But them donkeys is something else. But that donkey, well, you can pull on him and lead him. And you got to pull on him. He just don't follow you around like a dog. Now they have some pets now that they do. But in those days, they don't. Anybody here could outwalk a donkey. And secondly, here is Mary and Joseph are young people. They're in their teens, all probability. I don't know. Some people says Mary was 13. I don't believe. I believe she's older. I get her anywhere from maybe 17 to 20. And so when you picture even a 17 to 20 person, even though that she's heavy pregnancy, she's still able and young, energetic, able to walk and go. You ladies know that. Most of you probably say you didn't get stopped from going too many places when you're pregnant. You went to the store, you did this, you went to, and did the things you went to do. And so I have no problem seeing Mary and Joseph being able to kind of go and walk and so forth. So here's Mary and them. But it was kind of a tough journey too, because, you know, they would have to walk slow and more careful, I think, you know, as they went. So they're on a journey here to be taxed with Mary, the spouse wife. And it was there while they were there the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son wrapped in a swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for him in the inn. So a couple of things we want to notice there. I'll jump down to the innkeeper or the inn. There's no innkeeper really. People talk about the inn. I've heard preachers talk, and they go at length in sermons talking about the innkeeper and how cruel he was and all that, what he done and all this. But you know, if they talk about the innkeeper, it's just speculation. Because scripture don't even mention the innkeeper, and I'll tell you after a while why they don't. But let's assume then that they come to the inn and they're turned away. You know, many of you probably have heard and read about babies been born in taxis. And I read of this one in Honduras not long ago. And this lady got in a taxi and she was, as they were going, the labor pains hit her and she was about to give birth. And the taxi driver pulled to the curb, kicked her out on the curb and said, "I don't want that bloody mess in my cab." And took off. And the cars passed by her. And finally a good Samaritan stopped and helped her until the paramedic, and called for the paramedics to come and help her. Now, maybe the innkeeper could, I visualize several things that could happen. They could have knocked on the inn door, and the speculation is not in scripture, and the innkeeper come and he sees this, he looks at Joseph and Mary, and he sees these peasant couple from Nazareth. He asks them where they're from Nazareth. So they look like poor people from Nazareth. Nazareth's not much. You know what Nazareth talked about in the scripture? Said, "Hey, is there anything good that comes out of Nazareth?" And Nazareth was kind of a despised place. And it probably fit the name a little bit when you read about it. And maybe he looked at this young lady, young virgin. Well, I'm going to call her young lady for that. And he looks at this young lady and she's about to give birth. And maybe he don't want this mess in his in. I don't know why he did. I don't know that he did. I don't know, maybe they didn't even go to the inn. But it's interesting to speculate a little bit on it. But if they did, I'll tell you why they didn't get in after a while. And so brought forth, they go down. You know, some want to say the innkeeper was nice and said, well, we got a stable back here, you can stay in that. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say that. But it could happen. But I kind of picture them kind of down at the edge of town. They're down the livery stable down there. And they probably looked someplace, and they go down, and the only place they can find is a livery stable. And how many of you are familiar with livery stables? Anybody ever been around a livery stable? Yeah. Now in Madison, right down on Madison, there on 2nd Street, between 2nd and Main Street, they in up the alley, like they had a stable there. And you could go there, you could board a horses there, you could rent a horse there if you wanted to. You could rent a horse and buggy or whatever, but it was a livery stable. And so probably in that day there was many of them. And so probably they went down there might have had to pay a couple bucks, I don't know. But anyhow, that's where they were. They were in a stable there in town. And it says here, doesn't say that. It says she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in a swan clothes. Doesn't say anything about it. And put him in a manger. The only way we get a stable out is because we've got a manger. We know the manger is going to be the stables. And so we know that. And so it says he wrapped him in swaddling clothes and lay him in a manger. Swaddling clothes, most of you women know that. Some of you men probably don't know about it. But swaddling clothes are little strips of cloth, and they wrap that baby. They take that strips of cloth and they wrap that baby up. And real tight, like. And for two reasons. One reason is to keep him warm. Another reason, to hold the body together. And he was all tight. He looked like a little mummy, really. If you picture, I picture Jesus, you know, there he is laying in the manger. He looked like a little mummy, all wrapped up, an Egyptian mummy. And I think about it, here's Jesus. You know, a thought come to mind, I thought, here's Jesus all tied up. He's all tied up and not in goods. And I think about it, here's a babe all tied up so that you and I can be loose. Huh? Oh, we get tied up into sins. We get tied up with difficulties and problems, family difficulties, financial problems, all kinds of things we get tied up with. But Jesus was tied up in the cloths so that you and I could be free of all of that. Amen? Just a thought going there. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were the same country where shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. They were afraid, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to all people, and to you this born is this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Shepherds! Guys, here's a man that has went out and he's took control of the whole country. He lives in a palace and he just tells everybody they got to come and be taxed, and they all obey, they're coming. Why didn't he go there? Why not in a palace where he could have had a nice, clean place to lay, to be birthed? Why shepherds? Shepherds were people of the society on the low round of the ladder. They were looked upon sometimes as we look upon gypsies and carnival workers. They had the background of going from place to place, and they had a little trouble understanding what's mine and thine. And they said if the shepherds was there feeding and they pass on and something come up missing, they said, that's the shepherds. Shepherds did that. But I want us to think about these shepherds here. Something different about these shepherds. Something very different. And you know, teaching me, don't judge everybody by what somebody says about somebody else. You can't judge all shepherds by a few shepherds. And probably it was probably true with some shepherds. But they was out on the hillside 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They didn't get to go to the services at the temple, and they didn't have the place to bathe, really. Oh, if they had a creek or a pond or something, them wasn't too well, because oftentimes we read about them taking their flocks to wells. You can't bathe in a well. So probably this old shepherd, he's out there 24 hours, 7 days a week, and he's probably doesn't smell too good. And so they say the dirty old shepherds out there. Dirty old shepherds. You got to watch out for them. Why to come to them? I don't know. But let's read something more. And to learn in this day, he talks about here, he comes to the shepherds, and they fear. I kind of picture this, and I like to picture things, don't you? I like to picture when you read scripture. And so I'm thinking here, it's late, it's evening time, it's getting into the night time. And I see the shepherds, and you know, they used to have the shepherds, and they would be two or three shepherds would bring their flocks, and they'd put them in a cave, or they would put them in a corral, and they would join together there, and the next morning they'd go out and call their sheep out, and the sheep knows their name, and they'll go to whichever shepherd calls, and so forth. They know who their shepherd are. Oh, if we only knew who our shepherd was, if everybody knew who our shepherd was. If everybody knew who our shepherd was, how wonderful would they, wouldn't it? Oh, if they would follow Jesus like they did. So anyhow, I picture them here, and here's the shepherds, and they've got them corralled. They're either in a corral or they're in a cave there, and they're in a little campfire here, and they're sitting. Maybe they're talking about things, you know, happened today, but maybe they're talking about the Messiah. You know why I can say that? Because you know what, those flocks that they were keeping out there, they had lambs there, and they were caring for them, and they knew those lambs were going to end up in the temple as sacrifice to the great God we have. And this great God had promised Israel a Messiah. And probably these, you know, I mean, I'm taking care of sheep that's going to have lambs, and the lambs is going to be sacrificed in the temple. Those people believe in God, and that guy says there's going to be a Messiah coming. They might have been rehearsing that, I don't know. But here's one reason that I could know that. Is this. And here's the reason that the innkeeper isn't mentioned. I believe the innkeeper was an ungodly man. I believe he just had the cares of the world. He was an ungodly man. And so I mark him off as, hey, wasn't any room in the inn simply because you're an ungodly man. Don't care a thing about the things of God. He didn't know that she was going to. If that innkeeper, if he was concerned about the mess that was going to be in his inn, here's what he ought to be thinking about. He should have been thinking about, this is Bethlehem and the people all gathered, and there's been a promise of Messiah, and this lady's pregnant, about to have a child. And if she has a child and makes a mess in my inn, so be it. Because this one who's going to be born that makes this mess is going to grow up to be able to take us out of our mess. You ever get in a mess? Some of you might have a mess in your life right now. I know people, their whole life's a mess. But this Jesus can clean those messes up. And if his innkeeper hadn't known that, boy, he would have invited them in, wouldn't he? So he's an ungodly man. Now, these shepherds, we've got to look at these shepherds a little different than the ordinary shepherd. These are not the ordinary 24-hour, 7-day-a-week shepherds. Dirty, stinking shepherds. They might stink. They might be dirty. But they're godly. They're godly. These are godly men. Here's the reason I say that. If you think about it, anybody that was, I forget the word, initiated or some, or had a knowledge of the coming of the Lord was godly people. Mary found favor with the Lord. Joseph was a just man. Anna was a widow that prayed always in the temple. Zechariah was a priest. Elizabeth was a wife of a priest and the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. Everybody that was in contact or with the knowledge of the birth of Jesus was godly people. And I have to conclude that these shepherds were godly people. Listen, if they weren't, why would the angel appear to them anyhow? You know what? The angel's not going to appear to. And there, if somebody's looking, and I think, and that's why I give the little campfire thing about the shepherds. They were looking for the Messiah to come. They had knowledge of the Messiah. They're taking care of the sheep, for example, and all this stuff. But you see, the shepherd, the message of the Lord will not come to ungodly people. They will not have that contact. So I have to say, when you read, you know, I want to encourage you this. I can't get this from the Bible. I have to speculate here. But I think it's good speculation that everybody else were godly people that was connected with the birth of Jesus. And these shepherds had to be godly. They knew. Well, let's look at some more. And he said, and shall be a sign unto you, shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lay in a manger. And suddenly there was with them a host of angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace and earth goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels had gone away. So what a wonderful thing. Hey, you know, this really happened, folks. Hey, you know, if we think about some of those shepherds, they might have had a little moonshine hit out there. And you remember the guy running through the tombs, that Gadarene guy? He might have been on poppy seed. These guys were clear-minded. They weren't hallucinating. They weren't getting visions, you know. You know, they tell me that the people that are on drugs and people on alcohol and so forth, they come to a state, they see things, they vision signs and so forth. That's not there. All these shepherds saw. It says the angel appeared to them and they were afraid. And now a heavenly host comes and they're singing and praising God. You know why the heavenly host came? You know why the heavenly host comes and singing? To verify what the angel had told the shepherds. In other words, what the heavenly host was saying, we're here to help let you know this is a real thing. This is happening. They were so sure of what the angel said. Look what they did. And it came to pass, the angel was gone away. They went into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go out in Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Hey, those words, let us go now. What is that? That's haste. Let us go see this Jesus. Let us go to see this Messiah. You know, an ordinary shepherd said, well, I got to get somebody to watch after my sheep. And maybe, you know, I mean, I'm tired. We'll wait and go tomorrow. Then it says, they let us now go. When they heard about Jesus, they didn't hesitate. They urgently went. And we have people that will sit and listen and hear about Jesus. And the one born in Bethlehem, the one that can make us whole, clean us up and make us whole, and bring us before the God and give us hope. They say, well, I've got to find somebody to take care of my sheep. And maybe it's not raining, I'll go in the morning. But folks, listen, those people that don't know Jesus, if they only knew Jesus, they would urgently go and seek him. And they came and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen that, they made known abroad, saying, which was told them concerning this child. They rehearsed with Mary. You know, I picture this. How did they find him? How did they find the manger? You know, the three wise men, they had a guide. How did they? I picture them going into town, and I picture the town two ways. The town could be this. The town could be quiet and everybody settled down because they've had a long trip and they're tired. Or they could just be hooping it up. Hey, they're away from home. They're in a strange town, strange people, and they're just celebrating. I remember one time when the Farmers Convention was held in Madison, Indiana. I was quite younger then. And all the farmers all over Indiana came to Madison, Indiana. And boy, we lived a little ways out of town. And you could hear the sirens at midnight. You could hear the hooping and hollering and going on. They're out away from home. And that could have been whichever was. But either way, and it could have been either way. So here's these shepherds. Where going? How are we going to find it? You know, they didn't have that, what, the GPS thing? Get him? No. They probably knock on the door. A baby's been born here somewhere. Do you know where it's at? Or maybe they stop somebody in the street. Have you heard anything about this baby being born here? And finally they come to somebody and say, yeah, down at Joe's Livery Stable. I heard down at Joe's Livery Stable there's a baby been born down there. So they go. That's the way I think they find him. But here when they get there, they see the baby in the manger. He's wrapped in the swaddling clothes. Now the swaddling clothes wasn't a big deal. And the baby really wasn't a big deal. Because there was probably many babies born that night. You know, I don't know how many babies were born in Lexington last night. I remember when Carol J had her first baby, Zach, and we went down there. And they had crying babies all over the place. Everybody had a baby last night. So there was more than one. How are they going to know that this is the one? The angel said he's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes because whatever baby is born, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Look like a little Egyptian mummy. Here's the thing. But how many babies would be born in the stable and laid in the manger? That was a good luck. That's how they would know. That's how they would know this is him. He's laying in a manger. And rejoiced on that. They rejoiced in that. What a story. Wonderful story. Time runs out on me so quick. Thinking about this manger. When those shepherds came and they looked upon this manger, that night when they went into Bethlehem, they found the stable. And they looked upon the babe laying there in that manger. They had found the child. But they did not know. They didn't have any idea what else was in that manger. What that manger held, it held the peace that Jesus calmed the storms with. It held the loaves and fishes that Jesus fed 5,000 with. It held new eyes for which the blind man saw. It held new legs for the lame man to walk. It held the living water that quenched the thirst of the Samaritan woman at the well. It gave freedom for the woman that was caught in adultery. It held the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5. It held the tears that Jesus shed over Jerusalem. It held new life for Lazarus. It held the cross that destroyed death. It held the Father. It held the Father forgive them that Jesus uttered on the cross. It held the open tomb of resurrection. It held the bread of life and the cup of salvation. It held a cure for the lady with the issue of blood. It held comfort for the weary. It held strength for the weak. It held riches for the poor. It held the love of, forgive me for that. It held the love that God had for you and me. It held John 3:16. It held the blood that could cleanse the vilest sinner and make him clean. It held the open door to heaven for God's people to come in. Christ's manger, our manger, the shepherd's manger. Oh, there was all of that and so much more in that manger. So much more for the shepherds and for you and me today. It's where our lives meets God's life. Or better to say, it's where God meets us. It's where we're fed and we're sustained in the midst of it, and not only in the midst of it, but sometimes in spite of it, of all the difficulties and problems we face. Folks, I ask you, could it be any less? Could it be any less? Could it be any less? No. So this morning, as we come to the invitation, oh, how wonderful it is to know the story of Jesus. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, if you haven't come to the manger, if you haven't realized what the manger holds for you, I hope you understand now that you would be urgent and come to Jesus, that you'd make haste before it's everlasting too late. And you folks who have been to the manger, who know the Lord Jesus, might you be encouraged more and more and more. He has so much more. Let's stand. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. Thank you so very much. What an encouragement it is to people who love the Lord and want to rejoice in the babe of Bethlehem and what he grew up to be for us. Oh, how wonderful it is that we have a God like that. So might this week be a great and grand week for you. As family gathers and you celebrate the birth of Jesus, might you be like the shepherd, or about like the angels that came, the host of angels, singing glory to God on the highest, glory to men on earth, goodwill and peace to all men. Michael, would you ask God's blessing on us, we leave?
Our dear, gracious Father, we thank you so much for this message that we have received. and the life that he will bring to the world. We thank you for all the things that the manger represents to us, the freedom, the love. We ask, Lord, that we please keep this in our hearts this Christmas season throughout the next couple of days. Help us to remember the real reason that we are celebrating, that we might share it with others, that we all might experience the joy of Christ and the freedom and love that he gives. We ask, Lord, that you please guide, guard, and direct us throughout the rest of this week, and bring us here again next Sunday so that we might learn more and gain in faith in you.
Amen.
We ask for all these in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas because you've been to the manger of Jesus. Amen.